Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Me and Holder are back with another episode of the Overshares podcast.
Hello.
How are you guys doing today? You're not going to reply to us.
But we accept that you guys are doing pretty well.
Well, inshallah.
Inshallah, now that you've heard our voices.
Your faces have lit up.
Bright and brighter.
Bit like ours today.
Oh my God, eyes are so shiny. Guys, me and Colton had a little tiff outside the podcast before we pressed play. We both said to each other, no makeup today.
And what did I do?
Colton couldn't stop herself.
So
she was like, Hover, please, a bit of concealer.
I'm the one cool, Marina, yeah. Don't lie.
Oh yeah, she put a bit of bronzer on for me.
I put a bit of bronzer
on
her.
Oh guys, someone sent us a message and said, we've got to give translations when we speak Somali. So I don't know how that's going to work in podcast world, but whenever Kaltorn throws herself into the Somali language like she just did now, I will try and translate. I don't know what you just said there, I forgot. Oh yeah, she said, I put something on for you. That's what you said, isn't it?
I put on bronzer.
She did. I don't know if you can see it though.
I just thought I'd create some dimension in the face. Do you know what I mean? So today we have one scenario, unfortunately. We don't have a lot of time. Me and Holder have to be up tomorrow quite early.
We do. But the scenario is very long, it's very juicy, and it also has an update.
It's got two parts. In my sense, it sounds like two scenarios.
It's a two-parter.
Yeah.
It's a two-parter. I hear ya. Before we dive in, how are you feeling, Colton? I have to always ask you that because I feel like no one really asks us each other.
And every time you ask me, it's a Monday. Don't ever ask me how I'm feeling on a Monday.
Monday is the only day that we record. But I feel like it's really positive to ask someone, really, how do you feel? Wait, pause for a second. When someone asks you, how are you today, Colton? How do you often answer? Do you ever answer in a really like... Do you ever just say
it's
something
generic,
real?
I'm fine. I'm doing really well.
I'm always fake.
And then like, I start smiling.
Oh my God. Rachel went to go watch that movie Smile the other day.
And every time we looked at each other, we just kept going.
You guys need to watch the trailer for Smile.
It is the worst film
so shit.
Ever, but it's just funny.
But I think it's just one of those ones that you go to have
palate cleanser.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Mm. That's a good horror palate cleanser, if that
I
makes
agree.
Sense. I don't know. Should we just dive in, love?
I've not got much to report today, so let's dive.
Okay, let's dive in.
Let's swim.
Right. So I don't like that I'm wearing a lot of black here. Very blacked out.
I'm in my PJs.
Oh, yeah. I bought this little cardi from Primark the other day. I actually quite like
this
it.
This is really cute. I've seen this, and it reminds me a lot of Ilhan.
Does it? Very comfy.
Have you not seen Ilhan's long cardi with the hood?
Yeah, oh, it does.
This is Ilhan.
This is very comfy, though.
On her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Ilhan.
We love you. Ilhan's our really good friend.
May Allah bless you with many more years. Amin. I ghosted my family and fiancé after what my sister did. I need a little advice on the matter as I don't know what to do anymore. When I was 21, my fiancé asked me to marry him. He was the absolute light of my life. We had known each other since preschool. Our families are very close.
Oh, preschool.
He would come and have dinner with us on a daily basis and vice versa. He doesn't have any siblings, but I had two older sisters, which is very important as he was always very close with them. We grew up together when we started dating. I don't think our parents stopped celebrating for weeks. He helped me deal with a lot of anxiety, and even when I gained a little weight and my mother berated me saying he was going to leave me, he told her off and said he loved me for who I was and not for what I looked like, even though he claimed I was the most beautiful girl in the world to him.
Oh my God, he's a catch.
He's
love
cute.
Him.
We were only engaged for 6 months before the incident. My middle older sister, let's call her Nikki, was a very cold person. She's never showed any affection. She's only ever opened up to my fiancé, as she said she saw him as a brother, and he also helped her through a lot of dark times, such as battling drug addiction and breaking the law. She and I never saw eye to eye. I loved her dearly because she was my sister, but I didn't like her as a person.
Oh, frosty.
Oh, no. Out of the blue, she tells me she wants to take me clubbing as we had never been together before, and she felt bad that she was so distant with me.
This sounds like a red flag already. Randomly taking her clubbing after she's just never really spoken to her before.
Guys, I'm a bit scared. Okay, cool. I agreed, and that night we went out. Clubbing wasn't really my style, but once I had a few drinks, I loosened up a little and began having fun. The night was going smoothly until Nikki spotted a guy across the room whom she claimed she wanted to climb like a tree. She walked over to him, and within a few minutes she was back, and she had a sour expression on her face. I asked her what was up, and she never said anything. I kept pressing because I didn't want our night to be ruined. She then told me the guy didn't want her number, but he wanted mine. And I told her he was a loser and there were plenty of guys around who would kill to be with a girl like her. She didn't budge though. She told me she needed to use the restroom and then we would leave. I waited for another hour. During this time, I was sipping on a lot of different cocktails. I then started feeling really dizzy and lightheaded. I figured I'd catch a cab home as I was certain Nikki had left. On my way out though, I bumped into a friend of Nikki's whom she had briefly dated. He asked me if I needed a hand to my car, and I explained I was getting a cab, and he said he was getting ready to leave and we could share one. I told him okay. We walked out of the club together and into the first cab we saw. I tried to find my phone in my purse, but I felt myself getting dizzier and dizzier. I don't remember what happened next as I blacked out, and the next morning I woke up on a hard sofa, my head pounding. When I came to, I realized I was in Nikki's friend's house and my phone was sitting on the glass table in front of me, but it was flat.
Why didn't you take her home?
This is getting intense.
I'm really confused.
He took her to his house.
Even though he said he's taken her home.
Yeah. When he noticed I was awake, he offered some tablets and water and explained that I had passed out in the cab and he didn't remember my parents' address. So he picked me up and took me back here where he laid me on the sofa. I told him I needed to go home as my fiance would be worried. He called a cab and I left. When I arrived at my parents' house, my mother, father, Nikki, and my fiance and his parents were all standing in the living room.
Oh my God. I'm scared.
I thought they were worried about me, but the instant I opened my mouth, my fiance asked how I could do this to him. I tried to explain that my phone went flat, I think she means died, but he then went on screaming about how could I cheat on him. I was baffled. Why would he think that? I tried to explain the night's events, but I kept getting cut off. Nikki then chimed in and said, I was lying, and how could I be so heartless to a man who's been there for me through thick and thin?
What? Nikki?
Yeah, the sister. She went on to say, I kept flirting with random guys all night.
Oh.
And then when she went to the bathroom, she saw me leave with her friend. I told her what had happened and she showed me photos on her phone where, as we were leaving, his hand was on my back, ushering me outside.
She took photos.
Yes.
She set her up.
Wait. Yes, the photo did look horrible. And I was so drunk, I didn't even realize his hand was on my back at all. My fiance was so angry and he kept shouting and his mum and mine were crying. I then asked Nikki to call her friend and he would confirm nothing happened. But when she called him, he told a completely different story. He said, I begged him to take me back to his. And when he did, we slept together multiple times.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I can't believe it. He lied.
Nikki's her sister, can I just say?
No, she set her up and the other guy's in on it. No, that's ridiculous.
I saw red and started crying and yelling at Nikki because I knew she had organized this whole thing to make me look bad. I begged my fiance to believe me, but he just shook his head and left. When everyone had cleared out, my mother slapped me across the face and told me to get out. I left and went to my friend's house where I stayed for a few nights. During those nights, I called my fiancé crying, pleading with him to believe me that nothing happened, but it all fell on deaf ears as he never returned any of my calls or texts. My mum texted me and told me she was kicking me out. Oh my God. And that she couldn't believe I would do such a thing. And a lot of hurtful other slurs I don't think I could repeat here. She didn't even give me time to get my things as she threw everything out. I was now homeless and none of my family would take me in as they chose my fiance and mother's side.
Who's this fiance? That's their child.
I was homeless and single in less than a day and a half, and my entire world had been taken away because of Nikki's lies. Now for weeks I tried to get everything to get my fiance back and my family. The limit for me though was when Christmas time had come and I went over to my mother's house to try and reconcile, and I was sleeping from couch to couch during this time. And when I got to my parents' house, I knocked on the door but no one answered. My friend then called me and told me she saw a Facebook picture that my family were in another state celebrating Christmas, and they had posted the pictures online.
That is so sad.
Everyone was there. My sisters.
I would be so heartbroken if that was me.
I'd be pissed off.
Seeing a picture of all of them having fun while I'm homeless.
Literally. Over a situation that's got nothing to do with them, can I just say?
Over Nikki's
lies. No, but even if she cheated, that's between her and her fiancé.
Yeah.
What's that got to do with her family?
Family's not really involved.
Anyway, everyone was there, and my sister and parents and grandparents and even my fiancé and his family. When I myself saw the photos, I couldn't stop crying as they all looked so happy. I cried for days and days before deciding to block them all, and I even returned my engagement ring. My friend knew someone a couple of hours away who was looking for some help in his restaurant, and he even had a living arrangements above where he worked so I could get rent at a cheap price and work at the same time. I wanted to start over with my life as it hurt me that no one took my side and they left me to fend for myself. I was able to move pretty quickly and was doing well. The apartment was tiny and I had to work 10 hours plus almost every day, but I was able to save a lot of money. I'm not living in that apartment anymore. I was able to rent a nicer condo, but I still am working at the restaurant as an assistant manager. Now it has been roughly 2 years since I left, and I have not spoken to any of my family. I have no idea what's going on with them until I got a knock on my door. It was my ex-fiance. I was shocked, to say the least. All these things came rushing back, and all I wanted to do was jump into his arms. But then I remembered the pain that I had felt and tried to slam the door in his face, but he stopped and asked to let him in and let him explain. He said, are you guys ready for this? He said that Nikki had gotten married and she had confessed that she lied about the situation because she had found someone she loved so much and realized what a horrible thing she did. I asked him how he found me, and he said my friend told him. My entire family had been trying to get in touch with me and want to see me. I told him I needed time to see if I ever wanted to have them in my life. He left, and I have been a mess since. I don't know what to do. I know I will never ever forgive Nikki. She could rot for all I care, but it's hard because my other family, fiance, didn't know she was lying. But I also felt like they abandoned me too quickly without letting me explain my side. I don't know if I should forgive them. Any advice would be helpful. Can I just say that was a journey. That was a bloody story, wasn't it?
That was crazy.
I mean, which area do we start off with?
Right, so should we start from the top?
Yeah.
So we have the club situation. No, first of all, before we even address the club situation, can we just talk about how annoyed Nikki was that the guy in the club fancied the sister? That was my first red flag. Before, like, taking out all the contextual stuff about how their relationship is, but in the club, and she came back with a sour face. Was that what you said?
Yeah.
That was my first red flag. I knew something big something is going to happen.
You know, one thing, that the one red flag for me was when she said the only relationship she could maintain in her family was the lady's fiancé. That's the only
That's
person.
A bit weird.
That to me is a big red flag. What? You can't get along with your family.
And but you suddenly get along with your sister's fiancé.
The only close friend is him.
No, that's
and he's
that's
helping
weird.
helping you through your dark
times. I sense jealousy. I sense a lot of I want to be in that situation.
Yeah, that's what I sense.
I want to be you. You have
I
the
want
better
that
life.
Yeah, I want that man. I think this is like she planned that. She actually planned the entire scenario to frame her sister. But you know what I don't understand? Like, she's either a really good liar and a really good manipulator to get everyone in that room to believe her. Because why, I can understand why the fiance is pissed off, but number one, he didn't even give her a chance to explain herself. He just assumed what Nikki said was correct, which to me says that he doesn't give a lot of credibility to his girlfriend.
No, I just don't like the fact that he believed Nikki straight away without even...
Like, have a conversation.
Like, he didn't even let her speak when she tried to explain to him. And he was just being really horrible and cold towards her.
Yeah, he just blatant that he was just like, whatever Nikki has said... is the gospel.
That is an ick for me. That is a massive ick. A man that doesn't believe me, but is believing these random people in my family.
That's weird.
No, I'm sorry. That's really weird. Who brought you into the family in the beginning? I did.
No, but I mean, they, how were, did all, you... they were all close friends. They were all close.
Including the mum and the dad?
Yeah, they were all friends. They all grew up together. So in the beginning of the story, they went to preschool. So they all know each other. But still, that's your partner.
Exactly.
He meant to love this person. He was about to marry her. Why would you not at least give her the chance to explain what
herself.
Happened?
Exactly.
Number one, that's the thing. But then,
it's
why
giving,
would...
Shall I tell you what it's giving? It's giving not very self-assured in his relationship. Self wasn't the right word. Not assured in his relationship. Because that was the first thing that she did that was a little bit sideways. Usually you can forgive the first thing. Do you know what I mean? This man just closed the door in
face. Do you think in some way it was him trying to self-sabotage?
Oh. But then, no, he did so much for her.
I know.
It just sounded like he loved her. It just doesn't give...
But then cheating is a big factor. Like, imagine someone... And then the way that I'm... That's what
I
I'm
know,
trying
but
to say.
I just don't like the fact that he didn't even... try and verify it. He just believed. But the thing is, though, there was some hard evidence.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Do you know what I mean? There was receipts, there was footage, there was ushering out the club, hand on the lower back.
And then she came home the next morning.
It's called the small of the back. Did you know that?
what this is?
That area right here. Hand on the small of the back. That's very intimate.
I just want to say, though, I feel like the way Nikki told the story, that's how you know she's not even a good sister.
I don't even blame the guy for not believing her. Shall I tell you why? Because you need to understand, this was orchestrated.
By Nikki.
Nikki probably had this plan in her mind for a long time. She probably spent time trying to, like, action it. Do you know what I mean?
But what I'm also saying is, it's the way Nikki told the story that added the...
Fuel to the fire.
She was like, are you mad?
She was
sleeping with my man.
Oh my God, Nikki.
She even added that she slept with him multiple times. The other guy said that.
She basically contacted the guy and said, these are your lines.
Literally.
This is what I want you to recite when they contact you.
She said, 3, 2, action.
Can we just talk about toxic sisters? For a second.
Whoa. Honestly.
I feel like there's a lot of toxic siblings out there. And I tell you why, is because siblings are very comfortable disrespecting you. And, you know, obviously that's normal because you grew up basically beefing it out. Do you know what I mean? But I just feel like when you're in adulthood, when you pass a specific threshold in your life, all that stuff that you basically grew up doing to each other needs to stop. Like, a line has to be drawn under it.
Yeah.
It can't continue well into, like, imagine I'm, like, married and I've had kids and my sister's still like...
being petty.
Yeah.
Where's my shirt, Colton?
Where's my top? You took my coat. Like, that's actually mad.
But you know what it is? I, as someone that doesn't have siblings, like, the way I look at this situation to me, it just seems like it doesn't even seem sisterly. Because if, in my eyes, if that situation happened to, like, you or anyone else that we know... The first thing I would do is I would try and play it down. I'd be like, what are you on about? She came, she was at my friend's house. Do you know what I mean? I would never like try and create a problem to make it even more than the issue. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Obviously, I understand Nikki planned this to obviously frame her. Mm. But the fact that she even had that thought in her head to do that to her sister, to me, is like cut off.
Within like sibling rivalries, there's always the passive one. So the dynamic usually is there's a passive, happy-go-lucky sister that does whatever she wants but doesn't really take accountability. Mm. And then there's an aggressor. The aggressor is the petty one. She's the toxic one. She will do things to try and get a reaction out of you. Mm. So I just feel like Nikki is the aggressor here and this other sibling is the passive one.
Okay.
Goes about her life, doesn't really care. Okay. But a little bit selfish.
Do you think it's...
But there's nothing wrong with that.
So from this information that we have, obviously Nikki looks like she's the snaky sister. I'm not going to lie. But it's not even aggression.
Nikki has deep-rooted issues with her sibling.
But to me, it seems like Nikki's gone to another level now that I don't think you could ever come back from. Because she's destroyed a relationship.
I believe that usually... with sister rivalries, there's always a level that it doesn't cross. Do you know what I mean? There's always like an unsaid, no, we cannot go beyond this.
Yeah.
What Nikki has done is she's gone into the unknown. She's gone rogue.
This is abyss.
Like, this is crazy. Her revenge has taken over her. It's consumed her. It's consumed her to the point where, you know, she's not even thinking about the consequences of her actions anymore. She's thinking, I need to get this bitch. I need to bring her down.
But why? Like, now it makes me feel it's like scary. I need to understand what she feels like that this girl has done to her.
Sometimes, the people just don't like the fact that you're a happy-go-lucky, happy person. They don't like the fact that you're just living your life and all these blessings are coming your way. This sister Nikki has suffered with previous substance misuse. She's had quite a tough life. Sounds like the mother's feeling a little bit sorry for her.
So what I'm trying to basically understand from this is that, to me, Nikki has done something so bad and so, like, heinous to me that I don't think it's really hard for anyone to come back from.
Absolutely.
And she's destroyed this relationship with her sister. Now, when I look as an only child who observes other siblings, can I say? I'm not even talking about you guys. I'm just saying just generally, yeah? There's families. There's always hostile. There's always one black sheep in the family.
Mm.
I won't say black, but I'll say sheep. There's always one sheep in the family, okay?
Yeah, that people always come for.
That people always come for. That's the misunderstood one. Mm. The one that isn't really, you know...
The happy-go-lucky one, a little bit selfish, goes about her business.
I feel like you're describing yourself, Max. But like the sheep of the family. And I feel like, does Nikki feel like, because she's a bit of the sheep of the family in this situation, or the other?
Or was the previous sheep in the family,
that she needs to basically get this revenge or get something up on
it's
her
like
to
maybe
make the other one look bad.
Exactly. Maybe I want to change my parents' perception of this sibling because I've always been the bad apple.
Exactly.
Mm.
It just seems like it's all rooted in envy and jealousy. Absolutely. I can't understand any other reason why you do this to your sibling. But on the upside, I see some really good sisters. Like, you guys are besties.
I know.
Like, have you ever seen those siblings?
Yeah,
I don't
but
know.
Come on. What you see on the outside isn't necessarily what's going
on inside.
It's not necessarily what's going on inside the home. Those same siblings that are besties outside are beefing in the house over the top, okay? Over the jacket.
But do you think when you get to a certain age that continues?
I feel like, you know what it is? It's because, you know, there's been a certain comfort level with siblings. Obviously, they're your siblings that you've, like... that you feel like pettiness and disrespect doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you don't even see it as like pettiness and disrespect. You just see it as this is the way we are, which is really bad. Because you can't just always be in that place with your sibling. Because sometimes you're going to need them Sometimes you're going to need them to back you.
Yeah, and to be there.
Against your parents.
And Nikki, And Nikki understood that in the end when she confessed and said, now that I'm in love with someone, I understand what I did wrong. But still, I think that's unforgivable.
But why did it take her to get married and love someone to realise what she did was wrong?
It's mad.
That's so crazy. So it turns out maybe she did just want the other girl's life.
Yeah.
Now that she's married, it's like, well, I've got it now.
Yeah, and I understand.
I can confess.
Oh, God, that's even worse for me. But shall I tell you why? She confessed and did nothing afterwards.
Mm.
And the girl's still missing for 2 years.
Yeah.
But now I want to come forward to the family.
Right.
Why has the mum and dad gotten involved in the situation where they've outcasted their child?
Mm.
Even if she made this mistake, even if she did the situation,
you're supposed they should have supported love them her. Regardless.
Yeah. You should have let her go through it on her own.
Exactly. They've kicked her out of the house. It's the mother especially. I feel like the father's very dormant. He's quite passive. He's not really speaking up. But the mum has literally made a beeline for her. She told her, get out of this house. Did she actually say get out?
She said get out, yeah, and go and get your stuff. And she didn't get her stuff. But you know what I think? I think what's surrounding the mum is the friends. The guy, the fiance, his parents, they're all friends.
The shame of it all.
The shame, the pride.
So she feels like she needs to
do more.
Yeah.
She needs to amp to the situation to make it look like she's punishing her daughter for this act that she did to her friend's son.
I agree.
But that's not looking out for your daughter, is it?
No, not for her best interest at all, which is who she needs to center in this scenario. Like, it just, it's so crazy to me. You know, mums, yeah? Mums that go,
they can make or break you. I just
mums that go on the offence when you do something wrong, that don't take the time to sit down and understand why.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That really triggers me.
Me and this friend were talking about it. So she was like, whenever I complain about something to my mum, like I've got a headache or I've got a stomach ache or something bad happened to me in the day, her mum always tries to trump her with something that's happened to her. So she's saying that her mum keeps basically comparing.
Trying to outdo
outdo
her.
Each other.
Yeah.
And often that happens. And I'm not going to lie. That situation just made me laugh. But it just made me realise, like, it's very hard for mums to, like, talk about feelings and to just, like, not all mums, but some mums. Do you know what I mean? So in this situation,
it's just difficult for them to empathise.
Yeah. And just, I don't know why you know that is, though. What I can't seem to understand.
Because they gave birth to you and they constantly remind you that you... I was the one that gave birth to you. You put me through this pain. That's what it is. I'm joking. I don't actually know what
I
it
don't
is.
Know.
But there is a lack of empathy with some mums, I agree.
Yeah, and it's just really toxic. And sometimes you just want your mum to listen to you and to appreciate you and... You just need the lending hand. You need a mother's love. Do you know what I mean?
Can you imagine a Somali mum sitting down with you and being like, why did you do this?
It's like shocking, isn't it?
Why did you do this? What was going through your mind?
Or how do you feel today?
Yeah.
Wow. A Somali mum saying
to
you, how are you today? How are you feeling?
You know what? I'm not going to put too much pressure on them because I feel like they went through a lot. Do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
There's
not.
A lot of trauma there. We'll discuss that another day. But the point is, and I want to bring it back to this scenario, this mum had a chance to really show her daughter, I'm here to support you, I'm here to listen.
Mm.
She could have really taken herself out of the scenario.
This was an excellent opportunity for the mum to prove that she is a nurturing woman.
Yeah, and it's not even that though. Like, she could have easily just stepped out of the situation and said, you two sort it out, meaning the fiance and the girl. Have your discussion. Whatever you agree, we'll support you both.
Mm.
She should not have jumped on that bandwagon and kicked her daughter out, because now she's not only destroyed that relationship, when Nikki's obviously dropped her bloody discovery of what she did, now what is she going to do? Is she going to continue back Nikki?
I think she just jumped on the shame bandwagon. I think, you know what it is? I think Nikki also got into the mum's mind.
Nikki is so she's a psychopath. She's so calculated.
I think Nikki took her to the side first and told her what happened.
Do you think so?
Maybe.
This is a house of cards. Nikki is literally the bloody chess player here. She has played everyone so well.
She's played them all against each other.
To bring this girl
down. Against
this
girl.
Yeah. Imagine someone was that.
May Allah protect us from Nikki.
At her demise.
Oh my God.
But you know what? Allah reveals all, like I say.
Is there a part two?
There's an update, love. Do you want to read it? The juicy one.
So the update is, wow, guys, I didn't even know where to begin. I'm honestly so grateful for all the support, advice, beautiful messages and awards that you guys have gifted. I wish I could personally thank each and every one of you. I did try my best to reply to every message. You guys are honestly so amazing and I cried reading all the comments. My heart has never been so touched with the amount of love and support I got on this post, and I'm so sorry if it took too long to post an update. Mm-hmm. I was honestly in so much shock, I didn't know how to cope with it. So I never got back to my ex. I didn't know what to do, but eventually he must have given my phone number to my parents as they texted asking to meet up. I never replied and was planning on organising a Zoom meeting, but didn't need to as they also showed up at my door. Mm. Well, my father did. When I answered the door and saw him standing there, I ended up throwing up, which he insisted on cleaning. Wow. Was that
that's the anxiety.
Was that due to disgust or anxiety?
Do you know what I mean? She was just shocked. Do you know Imagine how she must have felt there that whole time.
Anxiety has made me throw up before.
Has it?
Has made you throw up?
No, it's made me dizzy.
It's made me throw up. It's made me poo.
Yeah, it makes me poo quite a lot.
Mm.
Hey guys, TMI.
I know, ew. Girls don't poo. When he was done, we sat down and I just bursted into tears. My emotions were all over the place and my father has worn the same cologne for a really long time. So when I smelt it, it brought back all these memories. He tried to hug me, but I pushed him away and asked what he was doing here. He went on to explain he and my mother are getting a divorce. He said he begged my mother to get in touch with me the minute I left, but she refused and said I was acting like a baby, and if I wanted to leave them after doing something so horrible, then I could do things on my own from then on.
Oh, God.
I asked him how long did it take for them to notice I was gone. He said they arrived back home after New Year's Eve and were planning on inviting me over so we could talk. That's when they got in touch with my friend and she told them that I left and she didn't know where I was. I asked him why didn't he listen to my side of the story and why did they throw me away so easily? Aww. Oh, this is so heartbreaking. Imagine having this conversation with your parents. Ouch. He just started crying. He said he never meant for things to get so out of hand and he wishes more than anything that he could take it all back. I said, when they found out Nikki was taking drugs and had dropped out of high school, they didn't throw her away. Instead, we all went on a holiday so she could focus on things besides drugs. And during that trip, she got hooked on alcohol and each time they defended her over and over.
So they can defend.
It's very telling. He said he had no idea my mother was going to kick me out, so he thought it was going to be for a few days, but then they decided last minute to spend Christmas out of state. My mother apparently promised him I would be allowed back home after they got back. I said she threw away all my stuff, but he said everything was still there and she lied about that. I asked him what has happened to Nikki and he said she is dead to him. He wants nothing to do with her, but my mother has been crying to him, asking to forgive Nikki as she is not well and they had already lost one daughter. They cannot lose two. He blocked my mother and Nikki has been on my ex's case about finding me. Why is Nikki still in Why is she still in contact with the ex?
Is she not married?
She's pissing me off.
My ex caved in when my dad said he blocked my mother and Nikki told him where I lived. I asked that he never show up again unless I give him permission and he agreed. He asked what would happen now and I said I really don't know and that he hurt me really bad. Mm. I then just went into detail about how much he hurt me and what it felt like seeing them so happy without me and how hard it has been. We were both crying by the end of it, but I was really glad I got it all out. It felt like a huge weight had been lifted off my shoulders. My dad then said he knew a few places around the area and would help me get a better apartment, and he said that he would help get a better job. But I told him I wouldn't be leaving this job as my boss helped me out so much and I wanted to repay him at all costs. I said I didn't want him to do anything for me, but I said I do want to reconcile, but it has to be on my own terms and it is going to take a very, very long time to trust him again and I may never trust him again.
Mm.
He said he would do anything to make up for what he did. I asked him why Nikki did this and if she said anything about it.
Okay.
Well, she said she thought my ex deserved better than me and she wanted to see him happy because he was making too many sacrifices in the relationship. She loved him like a brother and wanted to break the engagement off. So that night, she asked her friend to come and escort me out of the club so she could get photos and take me home so her plan could work.
What?
She said nothing sexual happened. I went to sleep on the sofa and that was it. He was up playing video games all night until I woke up, which he has proof of, apparently.
That is mad.
My dad was planning on getting my stuff from my mother's house and bringing it to me, but I told him I didn't want any of those things anymore.
Good.
I then went to ask about Nikki's husband and he said my mother has been hush-hush with the entire situation, but he had his number and wrote it down for me.
Oh my God!
Oh my God.
This is getting juicy.
This is like, this is poetic justice.
This is. Okay, what's happening? Tell me.
After my dad left, I decided to call Nikki's husband. I was sweating the entire time and felt so sick. What if I could hear her in the background?
Oh my God.
Well, anyhow, when he picked up, I just spit everything out, which I deeply regret because I should have eased into it for him.
Good.
He sounded really confused and I explained the entire situation again. I even went into detail about her drug and alcohol problems. I was honestly expecting him to curse me out and defend Nikki. Instead, he let out a long sigh. And well, it turns out he had a feeling she wasn't exactly innocent. And it turns out her and his sister have been having problems. She has been spouting nonstop lies about his sister and has caused a huge rift between them. His sister didn't even attend their wedding. I told him I was sorry, but he should make things right with his sister because Nikki was the problem and not her. We spoke a little more and he hung up. I'm not entirely sure what he's going to do with that information. I hope he cuts his losses and leaves her because he sounded like a really nice person and even he has lost his own sister because of Nikki.
Nikki.
So I have decided to reconcile with my dad. My mother has always run the show their entire marriage. So the fact that he is putting his foot down and divorcing her shows he is serious about wanting to make amends. I don't think I will ever reconcile with my mother as she thinks Nikki is a victim. Also, in all of this, and at this point, I don't care to listen to her excuses. If she reaches out and we talk, I will update the post again. Oh, this girl's very active.
Mm.
For my ex, I haven't had the time to meet with him and talk. Though my dad mentioned he wanted to come with my dad, but he told him I would be too overwhelmed if we were both there and seeing them separated will help make clear decisions.
Mm-hmm.
He also mentioned my ex was arrested for assaulting Nikki's friend who lied about the entire situation. Aww. He was being charged, but the charges were dropped a few days later. I will update the post again when I have the time to speak to my ex. Thank you guys for being so patient and so caring and just amazing.
Poetic justice has, it's just amazing when it all comes together and it's like sealed in a beautiful red ribbon and it's given to you.
How do you feel about her telling Nikki's husband?
I think she deserves to, I think 2 years I would have just got over it.
I thought that was a little bit salty. Like, I understand the pain and the drama that she's been through. I get it.
Nah, but come also, on. Someone does that to you, ruins your entire life. What, you're not even going to spew a little bit of hate? And maybe, I don't think she had the time to really reflect on the situation.
I don't know, she could have just let it go.
She got the number. She's got the number. The way I'm
just
seeing
it. I don't know, I just feel like, you know what, this toxicness should have just died with the original girl.
I think I get that, but when you're in that situation and you've got the number in your hand,
I don't care for their relationship. No, all way. I'm going to do is focus on my health, my happiness. Do you know what I mean? It's like I had to drop one last bomb on Nikki before I put the mic down and exited this family forever. But it's a little bit dramatic.
It's dramatic, but I think it works for some. I can understand why she did it.
I just think
it's going to make her feel any better.
I just think everyone's little shade downside is going to think that that was a good thing to do.
I agree.
But really and truly, she was already out of the equation. She had the opportunity to tell her dad. Her dad also told her why Nikki did this. She got all the information that she needed and she could have just let it go. and just but moved on. It's that
niggling
life.
Feeling in the back
and
of
I
your
have a
mind.
Feeling this ex-fiance is gonna come back and she's gonna be she's gonna get back with her family. Come on, this is family
no,
at the end of the day.
Of course, she's gonna get back with her
well,
family.
Well, it's still there. Well, it's school not that. That's it. You fight and then you get back together. Honestly, she just didn't need to do that as okay. like a final like.
But let me give you another perspective.
Stick the knife in and twist it.
But for someone that had to sit on that situation for so long,
2 years, I
think
understand.
It's harder. It's easy said than done to just be like. You've had 2 years, get over it.
It's not get, I'm not saying get over it. I'm not trying to invalidate her
feelings.
And in
her mind, she's got a situation that's been handed to her.
Did she really need to contact the husband? Could she not have just spoken to Nikki and told her how, like, do you know what I mean?
I think she was just being petty and she thought, F it.
Yeah, I don't really think it's the right thing to do. It's not really going to do anything for her situation. It's not going to give her any.
But it helped Nikki's husband understand his situation.
True.
Because he realised that his sister true, and Nikki, true. You know, there were situations happening there and it opened his eyes. I think maybe in your mind, you're like, she should have just been the bigger person around
her. I just think they're siblings. And, you know, honestly, I do understand that what happened between them is something massive. And I can't even imagine this happening between siblings. I do get it. But at the end of the day, like the family, that's family.
Did Nikki think about that though?
Nikki didn't care, no. So but Nikki's got, you know, she's got a history of just doing some crazy things, you know what I mean?
But is it fair to assume that the passive good person that this happened to is always going to be good? I feel like in movies and in life, we just assume people are just going to... I mean, she might have a dark side to her and she might just thought, F it.
It's not necessarily good.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think... I wouldn't judge her for it. And I think she didn't have much time when that father came and he gave her that number. I think she was just amped up.
Mm.
And also all of
that
information. Yeah, she just saw him. Everything's coming back. She's more angry at why her life has been ruined. She's imagine you have like your whole life you've left and you've started this whole brand new life for 2 whole years because of this woman. Mm, do you know what I mean? Mm. I can see why she would be triggered by that.
But I would have just beat her up. Well, like, this is siblings at the end of the day. I just don't understand why they
haven't had a fight. You would have just been like, home?
Why Uncle Birdie
left? In the middle of the kitchen table.
What is this? Going back and forth, going between family members. I would have literally like just knocked her out.
Certain families have a lot more toxicity than others. And I feel like in your mindset, you're very much of the school of thought where you argue, you fight it out, and you get over it tomorrow.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
That's definitely the dynamic.
There's a lot of sick people out there. And I feel like this situation, she took it to the new level.
And also, you know what? Another thing is, I'm not trying to victim blame or anything, but when Nikki said that stuff, why the hell did she not do some psychological shit to invalidate Nikki? I would have been like, what the hell are you talking about? Why are you making this up? You know, just get in their head. But she just took
it. She crumbled.
She crumbled. Yeah. But look what he's doing. Yeah, he was escorting me to my taxi. What?
What's the problem? Yeah,
do you know
she
what
didn't
I mean?
Argue back. But then again, she had like 10 people against her.
No, it's because Nikki, I feel like Nikki had previously, you know, she'd prepped them.
But that's what I'm saying. This family believed the story too quickly.
I just think she could have.
And that's what makes me think. Why? What is it about her character that makes them believe that she would do that?
I would call my aunties and say, this is what they're doing to me.
It's just the fact that they exiled her. That's the issue.
That's the only bit I don't agree with. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's the only bit that's a little bit fishy.
Like what mum would
maybe
do that
the
to
mum secretly hates the daughter as well.
I feel like the biggest problem here is
the mum. I don't even think it's the siblings.
I think Nikki was chatting shit. She did something cool, whatever. Like, no one believes you. Go away.
Yeah.
But the mum.
For the mum to then believe Nikki, that is where this escalated from.
Yeah.
The mum should have been the passive person, the mediator, the one that says, no, but we need to understand from the other perspective.
Yeah.
No, but. She didn't do that. She took Nikki's side.
And
this
why
is where
did the mum not understand
from.
Her own
and then the dad.
Character.
You know what the dad should have done when he saw the mum piping up and taking that daughter's side? He should have been like, excuse me. We're not kicking my daughter out. You can't speak to her like this. This is my daughter. This is my blood. Well, Gurugeri Wachoge said this is her house she's staying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just find this, I don't know, man. Nikki and her mum, habahan.
Yeah. But I don't know.
Let them go.
I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of deep-rooted toxicity that we can't explore here.
It's not even deep-rooted toxicity. It's just siblings.
No, Nikki, but no one is that
Nikki
evil.
Nikki and
cut
her sister
on.
Is siblings. Yeah,
even
no.
Even the mum's relationship is weird.
The
to
contents
me.
Of what of happened this scenario is weird. Crazy. I get that. But Nikki and her sister, that's their problem.
That's their beef.
It's their dynamic. That's their situation. The fiance, the mother-in-law, the mother, the father. Shouldn't have got involved.
Fiance maybe, because that's the girlfriend and him. That's his situation.
Okay, yeah, but he's... That's,
but the mum.
But fiance, I get it, parents, because, you know, he's also implicated in this. But the rest of them...
So should not got involved.
Mm-mm.
No.
And then it would have been... If it was just between those two, it would have been a... Who does the fiance believe?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And then that's when we could have grasped
the reality of the situation.
What kind of person he was.
Yeah. Is he going to believe Nikki, who's a whisper in his ear?
He's a brother to me. He helps me with my problems.
Up. Brother na mahe. He's not your brother. What the hell?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
No. But still, may Allah protect us from people like Nikki in our lives. Because there are actual people that tell real, real lies.
Yeah.
Not even porkies. Real lies.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
But when someone flat out lies to make themselves look as though more appealing in the eyes of someone else,
that's a
big problem.
Mm, that is. And you know what? Your lies catch up to you because then you forget. You forget
you
certain
forget
lies
that you
lied.
Told. And then you'll be like, hold on a minute. Didn't you say that
didn't
you were...
Say that? And then you get caught out and it's... And you'll be a little
game
smarter.
Game over.
Anyway, guys, I think that is the end of that scenario to me. I'm quite shocked.
I think it had a somewhat poetic justice type of ending, although some things didn't need to get to where they got to. And I just think...
Each to their own.
You know what? I genuinely believe in my soul, the girl, the original victim, well, the only victim, I just feel like the girl should have just stuck to her guns a bit more. When they were all cornered her.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think she should have stuck up for herself in that situation.
But she should have been like, what are you talking about? And then just have an explanation for everything that Nikki's had as evidence. Do you know what I mean?
If she gave it too easily to Nikki.
Too easy. She gave it up to her.
And
she
should know.
She knows who her sister is. She already said in the beginning that she's always had
this character. Yeah,
exactly.
But I don't know if
she should have played the game.
This big lie.
She should have played.
This was an EastEnders episode.
I know.
With producers. She had cast members. She had everything.
I know. She had backup ready. She had her
boom,
team.
Boom, boom, boom. And I can see
she had. Yeah, she had production.
Basically, she
behind
did.
Her.
And I can see why the sister, was just taken back by this.
I know. It's true though. When you're in a situation where you're ganged
it's
up
a shock.
On, I'm not going to lie. I'll just start crying. You know when you just feel so wronged? Have you ever? There's only two situations in which I cry in, and it's if an injustice has happened to me, where I have no choice. Well, I don't even control. I can't even control it. My eyes.
No, because your body just erupts.
And you're
shaking. You react.
You know those cries where you're like. And then the second one is when someone close to me dies.
Oh, yeah.
That's the two situations in which I cry. But the injustice one,
that cry is
a very hot cry. Your whole face is burning. Your tears are like the hot water that comes out of the sink.
Can I tell you something? You know when I cry after a fight.
Really?
Yeah. So I won't cry. Like any time I have a heated conversation with someone, I cry afterwards. I can't let it
see.
People see me in that really weak position. So I just
I make sure that I'm out of the you know what I mean. There's no prying eyes.
Yeah.
I make sure that I'm alone.
But literally after the altercation or the argument or whatever's happened, and my adrenaline's come down, I just crash. I start crying, and then I like have to do something to make myself get over it. But it's like an ugly cry. It's like a Kim cry. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think I've actually seen, like, except when we were younger.
I don't think you ever seen me cry now.
Not for a long time.
Can I just say something though? Like, I've got a condition where when I'm in the cold, my eyes water, so people don't actually know
whether or not she's crying. Or
but
if it's the wind,
if you guys ever see me on road and I'm crying, like sometimes when I'm walking from work, I cry.
So sad. Was that like a real tears or was that windy tears?
No, it's windy tears. But if I'm like really emotional, I'll cry. But like if my eyes are red and my nose is sniffly, like, you know, I'm crying. But yeah, that's the point. But I really feel like, you know, when I was younger, I'm going to tell you guys a funny story. So basically, Quran school, I had a really traumatic day. My Quran teacher was really, really pissing me off. She was really picking on me at this point. And and the tension was getting too much. And it got to the point where she made me, and this is my problem, can I say, because I didn't learn my Quran over the week. So I didn't know much. So then she made me, do you know what I mean? So she made me read out loud in front of everyone.
Oh, no, that's the worst.
And then I was like, honestly, I don't know it. Can I read it another day? Can I read it next week? I make sure I learn it. She was like, no, read it. She's trying to make a point of me or the situation.
An example out of me.
Sorry, my English is crazy. So then after that situation, I finished it. Like, I had to do Higad instead of reading the Quran. Do you know what I mean? That's how bad it was. Stop. So Higad is like when you have to, like, you know when kids are doing phonetics and they're like
sounding
cat,
it out.
Yeah, they're like cat at. So, so here's me trying to read out the Quran in this way. Oh guys, I'm crying now. And I went through an entire 3 pages going,
how long did that take?
it was death. It took so long.
Sometimes you just, you know what it is though, when you're in those situations, you just got to put your head down and just
do
it.
Anyway, I did it. And then adrenaline left and I said, can I go to the toilet, please? And I started like howling in the toilet. I started howling in the toilet, yeah. And then this mum was... Wait, let me calm down. Then there was this mum that was doing wudu. So that's like...
Ablution
in the toilet. So she was really washing her hands and everything. And then I came out the toilet. She saw my face red. She just walked out and she was shaking her head. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. And then when I went back into the masjid to go sit down with the other lesson, to the lesson, she called me over. She was like, "Habriyar, wuliga suliga kuoyin, wuliga." That means don't ever in your life cry in the toilet. And I was trying to act like, what the hell, shut up. Like, you know, I'm already embarrassed as it is. She goes, don't ever cry in the toilet because the shaitan is watching you. Which means the shaitan's watching you. Obviously, Satan's watching you. And I was like, till that day, that story, it just reminds me of just how... I had such a traumatic day that day. Wallahi.
And early mums and the lack of empathy. That is the perfect example. So instead of commenting on your disheveledness,
on my
teeth, that your face is puffy.
And it's not even, I was howling in the toilet. I wasn't even quiet crying. I was literally going, do you know what I mean? Because I felt bullied. So she didn't even address that. She just said, will you guys see that cool? And that to me was the most traumatic day of my life.
That is the conclusion right there. And that is Somali mums for you. Not all of them. I love my Somali mothers.
We do. They're funny. But
yeah, that was a very, very good story, Hala. Congratulations. That was amazing. What the hell?
So true. Anyway, guys, that is the end of this episode. We really, really hope you've enjoyed it. We just want to say thank you so much for all the support.
All the downloads.
If you get us to 10,000 downloads, we are partying hard with you. Okay, maybe not. But it's the winter, we're anemic. But anyway, let's continue. But the point is, we really, really appreciate you guys, honestly, and we love you. Thank you to the YouTube people for still following
us.
Yeah,
for still, honestly, I thought our YouTubies were going to go down, but alhamdulillah. Thank you, guys.
Power to the people.
Power to the ones that are watching both the YouTube and the podcast. That is what I call a real fan.
We do. We love you guys.
Honestly, you guys are the best. If you enjoyed this scenario, please leave a nice review.
Please.
A little cheeky 5 stars.
Ding, 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 ding.
And we'll see you next week on the Oversharers podcast.
With Kelly and Hala. Love you. Bye.